Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
But Shedeur Sanders is making his first career start this weekend. Our next guest has been the target of the Shahive. They've been big mad at him.
Yeah.
And Ross is one of those fellas that just calls it like he sees it. And on the line, it's Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider on the Fan Hotline. Ross, welcome back to the show.
What's up, fellas? How are you?
Doing all right. Good. Doing all right. I will say, slightly more excited to watch Shedeur Sanders start this weekend than Dylan Gabriel.
Well, you should be extremely excited because word on the street is that there's going to be an incredible color analyst for that game on Sunday.
I believe his name.
Oh, we got Archuleta again?
Very good, Jonathan. Very good. No, it'll be me, and it's going to be awesome. I can't wait. Very, very excited. I mean, listen, as a broadcaster, right, you want the most people watching possible. You want the most excitement possible. So certainly it's fortuitous from that standpoint that this will be Shedeur's first start. And I think, like everybody else, I'm as excited as everybody else is to see how he looks, how well he plays when he has a game plan that's totally built around him and his skill set. He gets all the reps during the week. I mean, I'm thrilled for him. I'm not thrilled that, you know, Dylan Gabriel suffered a concussion, but I'm thrilled for him, and I guess by extension me, that, you know, I get to call this game. There's a lot of people really fired up about it, including me.
Well, all right, so let's go with what you saw from last week then. You know, obviously at the very end, I feel like a lot of people with that final drive, there's some things to latch on to, but how did you see it?
You know, it's funny because when I watched, I saw the stats first, and then I watched the game. And when I watched it, I thought he performed better than the statistics. If you just look at 4 of 16 and the pick and the sacks, you're like, oh my gosh, it was terrible. I don't think it was that terrible. You know, I liked some of his pocket movement. I liked some of the escapability. I liked the throw to Larvadan. I mean, I know he wants the one back to Bond, which would have been a touchdown. I guess I came away thinking it was probably about what I expected, but a little bit better than if you just looked at the statistics. I think the people that are crushing him and saying he was terrible or whatever, I think those are probably the people that just are going by the statistics and didn't actually watch it. Because when you actually watch it, I don't know, it just felt better to me than 4 of 16.
All right, with that, how much different? Because this has been the talk. He has not gotten first-team reps ever with the Browns until today. How much different, how much better can he be? How much better can 1 week of rep, 3 days of practices with the ones make Shedeur Sanders?
I would say a lot. I think it makes a huge, huge difference. You're talking about going from a game plan designed for Dylan Gabriel and not getting any reps and going against a very good defense in the Baltimore Ravens And now instead, you're having a game plan totally designed around your skill set, which, by the way, is different than Dylan Gabriel's. You're getting every single repetition that week. So you, every play they're going to run on Sunday, they will effort to try to get him that look in practice this week. And I think as much as anything, just throwing the ball to Jerry Jeudy and Tillman and these guys so he gets a better feel for the nuances that every route runner has. And the Raiders' defense isn't nearly as good as the Ravens. So there's a lot of things going in his favor for this game. I will say this, though. You know, every play shouldn't be a referendum on whether or not he's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL or not. And, in fact, this just one game shouldn't be that. I think what you want to see in this game is you want to see the flashes of the things that he did at Colorado that made a lot of people think he was worthy of a first-round pick or at least no later than a second-round pick. You want to see those things come to fruition. You want to see, you know, the innate spatial awareness, the touch, the accuracy. We know he has the toughness. Goodness gracious, he took some vicious, vicious shots at Colorado, which is probably the thing I respect the most about him. But I think you just want to, you know what you want? You want at the end of this game to say, you know what? I think there's something there. I want to see even more from this guy.
Yeah, no question about that. Ross, when you sit down with Shador or even, let's even say Stefanski, as you guys get ready to call this game, what's the one thing that you're kind of like itching to find out?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, I guess I'm curious to talk with Tommy Rees, to talk with Kevin Stefanski about what they really think Shador does well and what they've designed, what they have in mind for him this week. I mean, it's not like they're going to hand me the opening script. It doesn't work that way. But they will be pretty forthcoming with, hey, he really is good at this. He really does this well. We really like him and think this will work for him. We'll probably stay away from this, probably stay away from that. I have my own ideas as to what some of those things might be, but I'm really curious to hear it coming from them, who's been around him as much as they have. You know, I remembered when I did the Ravens game, week two, when I did the Ravens game, and they talked about the extra periods they were having, I think mainly for Shador. I mean, to some extent, Gabriel and all the other rookies, but mainly for Shador, they knew that they had a really young team and a lot of rookies, and they were trying to build this thing so that these young players got better this year, which, by the way, is unique. Not every team does that. Not every team is as invested in the development of their young players like the Browns have been this year. And based on some of the quotes I've read, it doesn't even seem like the Browns have done this before. It feels like this is some of the things they've done are even new for them, knowing kind of the uniqueness of having, A, this many rookies, and B, two rookie quarterbacks.
Ross, Myles Garrett, real good at football. He's got 15 sacks through 10 games. He is on pace for 25 sacks this year, which would, of course, be the NFL single-season sack record. I feel like every couple of years we get somebody who comes close to pushing the record, gets to 19, 20 sacks. At what point, with 7 games to go, what point does this become a real conversation about Myles' ability not just to get close to the record, but certainly surpass it?
I think when he hits 20, you know, I mean, sacks come in bunches, and goodness knows he knows that because he's had 10 the last 3 weeks, including one game with 5, one game with 4. He could just as easily have a couple games in a row where he has none. The thing that's crazy is that we even still use that metric as necessarily like the gold standard, because he might even have a better game and have double-digit pressures in a game with all high-quality, you know, quick pressures where he's getting to the quarterback in less than 2.5 seconds but end up with 0 sacks. Whereas I thought Lamar Jackson held on to the ball too long on some of those. And I don't want to say gifted him some sacks, but some of those sacks I would say were half on Lamar and half coverage sacks, a couple of them. It wasn't like it was necessarily Miles just blowing by. I've seen other games, guys, where Miles is just abusing the offensive tackle or the double team, but the quarterback's getting rid of it so quickly, he's not actually getting sacks. So it's a tough metric. I think you got to wait till he gets 20, because until then, you just don't know. I mean, he could have, I mean, I don't know if you guys have watched the Raiders, but he could have 4 or 5 in this game. I mean, he could have a lot in this game, or, you know, maybe they are so dedicated to not allowing that to happen that he doesn't have any. I'll just say what he's done the last 6 years, what he's doing this year, it is insanity. It's insanity, because the first thing the head coach talks about on Wednesday morning is Myles Garrett. He's the game wrecker. We're not going to let him beat us. We're not going to let this guy, you know, go off on us. And then he does. I mean, I can't even tell you how impressive it is what he's doing, because what they're trying to do is have not a single play where it's a passing down and Miles is one-on-one. That's the goal of the offense. We know we can't block him one-on-one. Let's never allow that to happen. Yet sometimes Schwartz moves him around. He moves around to get to happen. Sometimes he beats a man and a half or beats two guys. Sometimes it's just relentless. And for him to do what he's doing on a team that almost never has the lead. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like this is late in the game when you're up 2 scores and they're passing the ball every down. He can just tee off. He's doing this on a team that pretty much never has the lead. It's absolutely incredible. I mean, right now, if I had a vote, which I don't, he's the defensive player of the year in the NFL. Schwesinger is the defensive rookie of the year in the NFL, which is just incredible to say on a 2-8 football team.
Yeah, no, it really is. And you know, what's interesting about that, though, is that, like, the extremes of that, right? Like, the defense, Ross, is so good. And we're constantly talking about how great they are. And then the offense is just, it's just so inept, and it's so bad. And so, like, as far as the difference between the extremes, yeah, I mean, the Bengals have it from, like, an offensive side to their defensive side, but they have the offense part of this. What does it tell you when you construct a team that is so defensive focused and defensive heavy where all the talent is?
Yeah, I don't know that was the goal. I think that on some level that's just kind of where they ended up.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a situation where, you know, Miles obviously is Miles, and then this draft they went very, very heavy on offense, but the first two picks were Mason Graham and Schlesinger. Then they went high volume on offense. Those guys turned into very, very good picks, especially Schlesinger.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I think, you know, they obviously signed Deshaun Watson for a reason, because it's funny because obviously the talent is where it is on the defensive side. I'd be curious, Jonathan, to know where the money is. I mean, does Deshaun offset the money so much that they still are spending more money on offense than defense? My guess is probably yes.
I mean, oddly enough, they spent so much money in the offensive line that is now just old and broken down. You know, you gave Betonio money, as you should. You gave Teller money, a bunch of money. You gave Conklin a bunch of money. So there's a lot on the offensive line that is just old and broken.
It's a shame. You know, it's funny how often this is the case.
in the NFL, but it's like right when the defense is elite, the offense is kind of, they don't have it at quarterback, they don't have it at receiver, and even the offensive line is not what they used to be. You know, that's why it's hard. It's hard to win the NFL. It's hard to have all of those things really going well at the same time, because you have to hit on your draft picks, you have to hit on the quarterback, you have to sign the right guys, you know, the trades you make have to supplement it well, which, by the way, a Tyson Campbell trade's looking pretty darn good right now. I mean, that's another move that they made. I don't know what it is where it feels like almost every move they make on defense works and a lot of the moves they make on offense don't. You know, it's like the Steelers are unbelievable at drafting wide receivers, but then other positions like offensive line, they screw up. Or Bill Belichick could never draft a good receiver, but he was amazing at other positions. I don't know. I don't know how that happens, where there's, you know, the Ravens for years and years and years couldn't draft a decent receiver to save their life, but yet every other position, like, they would draft these Pro Bowlers. It's kind of wild how that works.
Ross, the NFC looks mostly chalk right now, and the AFC looks like a mess. None of the top four seeds from last year are any of the top four seeds of this year. If you had to pick a team to come out of the AFC, are you going with one of the standards, the Chiefs, the Bills, the whatnots, or are you going with one of the upstarts this year?
Really good question. You know, I can't wait till that happens. I'm really curious to see, like, wild card weekend. Let's just say that the Bills and Chiefs are both wild cards, which I think is probably likely at this point, and they're playing at New England, at Indy, whatever. I can't wait to see the betting line for those games. I am fascinated by that. I mean, listen, the fact that the Chiefs were 3.5-point favorites at Denver on Sunday already tells you something about that. And I think it might be even more pronounced when you get to the postseason. I still think that the Broncos are pretty good. Drake May's pretty good. You know, the Colts are playing well. I mean, who are you guys going to pick in those games? I'll be picking the Bills and Chiefs, I'm pretty confident. We'll see how the rest of the season plays out. But in a playoff game where it really matters, I'm going to take the better quarterback, I believe, and the pedigree over the upstart, which I think is a lot of people, which is maybe unfair, but the upstarts have to prove that they're playoff ready.
Yeah, I'll be taking the Bills and the Chiefs too. But it is fun going around telling people all day today that the Panthers have more wins than the Chiefs.
I mean, the crazy thing is the Chiefs could really easily lose on Sunday again to the Colts. Colts are getting Charvarius Ward back. The Kansas City Chiefs could be 5-6. And it's funny because, as you guys know, I work for CBS, so that's, you know, the Chiefs get really good ratings, so it's a lot of the Jim Nantz, Tony Romo games. I think they're actually more interesting this year. You know, it's like one thing when they win all the time and, like, they're the number one seed. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, the Chiefs in desperation mode. The Chiefs in, we got to win this game to even potentially make the playoffs mode.
I think a lot of people are. Ross, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate you. Can't wait to hear you in the call. And again, always on Afternoon Drive with Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin. Shout out to my boys. Just remember that statement.
You know what's so funny about that? I've thought about this, and if I get the chance, I mean, last game I said I go on with Sports Talk Radio in Cleveland every week. I know what they're going to ask me. I'm thinking for this one, listen, I go on the most popular sports talk show in Cleveland with Jonathan Peterlin every single Wednesday. He does an amazing job, and I know what Jonathan Peterlin is going to ask me on Cleveland Sports Talk Radio. Jonathan Peterlin is going to say this.
People are going to Google Jonathan Peterlin. They're going to see me right next to
it.
No. People are going to see my name right next to it. So I'm getting some glow off there, Ross. Ross, we appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, Ross.
Later, dude.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, in his weekly hit with us, usually 4 p.m. on Wednesdays. Today, he graciously moved to 5:20. It should be noted that Ross is right that every play, every snap, every moment shouldn't be a referendum on any young quarterback. Unfortunately, Shador is getting the first round treatment on this one, and maybe then some, in that, like, first round quarterbacks, every game, every snap, every moment, it's you're only as good as your last play of the last game. Shador's getting that despite being a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, the difference here is that the first-rounders at least get another week to go do it. And I don't know that Shador's going to have another week if he doesn't ball out this week. Like, this is his opportunity. This is I'm going to like an Eminem thing here. Like, your one chance, your one opportunity. But, like, this is it. And so he's got to make it look good. Like, I'm sorry. Other first-round picks do have a chance to have the long runway, to prove themselves. Shador just doesn't. He's got this game.
And I think to the last thing Ross said, which is you want to see some of the things that made him good at Colorado.
Yeah, like the elite accuracy, for instance.
I think the problem is, I think the people that are hopeful about Shador on Sunday, I think you're going to see enough to be like, oh, hey, I can see why he belongs in the NFL. And then I think the people who are Shador detractors, I think they're going to also say, well, but you saw the holding on to the ball too long. Well, you saw the bailing out of the pocket and turning your back to the defense. Like, the reality is I don't expect those things to go away overnight. So unless he has historically good or historically bad, man, I just feel like people are going to I feel like it's only going to add more fuel to a fight instead of tamping it down, right? Like,
yeah.
Now that Shador gets first-team reps, all right, let's put away the first team reps conversation about what happened in the past, because right. Now you at least get to see it. So that's a narrative that goes away. Most of the narratives, unless he has a holy crap electric game or a holy crap electrically bad game, yeah, I think people are just going to see what they want to with Shador.
Well, even in, like, remember the Panthers preseason game? Not that this is the end-all be-all, but that was not a perfect game. There were some moments in that game that looked a little like, all right, maybe that wasn't the best play in the world, but he had looked so otherworldly good in the other parts of it that it just overshadowed all of that. And that is what I think Shador is going to have to try to do, something like that, where it just, you get to make your little mistakes here and there, and but the good is going to, it'll just cover it all up. It's got to be the idea.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting, just the push and pull between the best versions of Shador and the worst versions of Shador on Sunday. Because I'm wondering, like, how many like the passes to Harold Fannin do we have to see before we're like, all right, I want more of this.
I think just one. One was all it took for a lot of people.
Well, but I mean,
it was good that we saw it.
That's one on one drive, and I think it helped him that it was on the last drive.
In one game, one complete game, yes. How many of those? Because think about it. Dylan Gabriel had a 26-yard pass in that game in the first half, and that was the longest pass he's had this entire season. So, like, if we get a couple of those in the game, I think a lot of people, and really that's the idea of it, though. Are you stretching the field? Are you giving your offense a true chance? And if he looks like he is, then I think that's going to be enough for people.
Well, and I think this is the one fly in the ointment on the thing around him sucks, which is fair. The offensive line has not played well. The running game is just not firing because teams are expecting it, and they know the Browns are only going to run between the tackles. The reverse game, woo, you got a jet sweep going, guys, once a game.
Ashley earlier, and I love Ashley, but it was like the Malachi Corley thing. She's like, what a raving success this is. And
in
I was
fairness,
like, huh?
In fairness, how many times have we watched the jet sweep thing just not work for them?
It's good that this one is kind of working, but
you
it's
get
also
one a game.
That's it, though. It's like this is not the thing we should be raving about.
But like everyone's saying, well, he doesn't have the situation around him to be good. It's fair. Neither does Jackson Dart. Like, and I Keith has actually been all over this when we've talked. I think Keith's spot on. Like, you can watch Jackson Dart play for the Giants and go, there's something there. That's a good football player.
He's got moxie. And he's got enough there.
If you improve the things around him, that's going to give you a really chance to be a really nice team for a couple years,
okay,
right?
But the Giants' offensive line is still grading out way better than what the Browns is. They're seventh right now in PFF.
Fair, but
like our offensive line, and I mean, you know this, you're a big line guy. Like, your offensive line, they're not just 32nd. They're dead last by a mile.
But I think, like, we start thinking about ways to overcome some of the issues around you. Well, the quarterback throwing the ball deep is going to make it easier for Quinshon Judkins to to score some points and to get up and to get some good runs in. You know what I mean?
For sure. And even within that, by the way, because basically what you're speaking to is an idea of overcoming obstacles.
Yes.
And what I've always loved and appreciated about the Shador camp and the people around Shador Sanders, all they've ever asked for is an opportunity. They are not the ones to point out 32nd offensive line and wide receivers that are in the wrong spots, etc. They're not the ones to do that. And so if that's true, and you can overcome all this stuff, then show us.
I may have to change my stance on Shador Sanders in that it might be time to take a stance on Shador Sanders. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.